Episode 537, May 3rd, 2021.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
It's a fucking great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Robin Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Robin Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Robin Joe.
It's the Robin Joe Show. Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, Robbie Robinson. We're no chat tonight. I forget why, but
there's no reason.
I think it's Robbie's fault, though.
It's definitely Robbie's fault. And how about that, Robbie? I got to give Robbie. He's ridiculous. We have to record a bonus show, and we have to record a regular show. We're recording the regular show now.
We get to do these things, Joe. We don't have to.
There's really no reason other than Robbie's OCD that we're doing. Like, I had in my mind two bonus shows. Stories that I wanted to tell, and they were fresh in my mind, and so I'm like, well, let me do that first.
Sure.
But because Robbie just put a number on an episode.
No, because normally we do, when we'd record two shows in one night, it's bonus, then regular. So I was wondering if Robbie was prepared to number them differently, and of course he was.
Yeah, but I mean, who gives a shit about the number?
It'll bother him forever.
And that's the thing, it's Robbie's, yes. It's just if the number isn't, if one number came out after the other number, Robbie, what level of awfulness would that be in your life?
It's happened many times where we do the bonus show first, and then there's a missing number, and then later I put up the bonus show. I just thought it'd be nice, since we're not doing it live, that I already have, because, you know, I set up the template for Rob beforehand, so I already had that one as the number. So when the new show comes out, it'll be the next number. And then maybe I'll have the bonus show out before next week, so they'll be right in order. Now, it doesn't really make any difference, except that I already set up the template for Rob, well, and I already had it in mind that we'd record the regular show first. And as far as being live is concerned, if I'd known that I was going to get off early today, there wouldn't have been a problem, but I could not plan for that.
Gotcha.
And we can't do anything.
Yeah.
We couldn't have just switched and done this, the bonus, and then went live like
normal. Not that he's done the template. Once he's efforted, that's nothing.
He cannot appease our fans. What percentage, what chance do you think, Robbie, that because Joe will be telling his bonus show stories later than he thought, they will not be as fresh in his mind, and he will not tell them as well, and because of that, the bonus show,
will be worse.
The show that people pay for, will be worse because of your template.
I think Joe's show stories will be better because we.
Thanks, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
I would like to be the same. Exactly.
And frankly, I'd like to always do the bonus show second. It's just not practical to do it that way. We usually do it before we go live.
Well, there is some news that we were determining whether or not we could do it on the bonus show or not,
or even allowed.
That's what I meant. Allowed to do it, or if it had to be done on the bonus show, or if it could be done, and it ends up that it had already been. We get to do it because it's already public information.
Yeah, another podcast, a friend of ours.
Yeah.
Yeah, friend of the show, podcast we've both been on, has already announced, I guess, this.
Yes.
I wouldn't call it, I would call it an unfortunate.
Yeah, no, it's definitely unfortunate.
Turn of events.
Do you want to be the person to break it to the world or well, actually,
I think
to
it
our
be,
audience?
I think it should be the family members. I mean, they should get that right.
Well, we already tried to call Jeremy and he didn't pick up, and that's because he's under the weather. Maybe we should call his brother Eric and we'll let Eric break that news to
the
world,
that's
right?
The
Can
best
you call
way
him Robbie?
It.
Eric Woodworth?
Eric Woodworth, our.
Do you have the template ready for that?
Is there a template for calling Eric to talk about Jeremy.
Who was he's been a big hit on the show recently.
Oh, he's been on fire.
Yeah, he really
This is
has.
Like his career year. If this was like a sporting team.
Yeah, you're right. Hey,
hello.
Hey, Eric, it's Joe and Rob. You're on the air. Hey, before we talk,
hey, what's up?
Before we break this news, which we haven't yet, Rob brought up a good point. Do you think that Jeremy is having a career year right now?
We're talking about his efforts on podcasting and things.
You think
strictly based on the standings of Mac Bergson's power rankings,
yeah.
Yeah.
He's way up in the Mac Bergson power rankings.
And I think they'll go up next time.
And even if you, I guess if you just, if it's a rolling 12 months, he has the Purple Power Hour theme song that he wrote.
Yes.
He's got the Chris Restivo Show theme song that he wrote.
He's also on the Chris Restivo
He's
Show.
He's also the co-star of the Chris Restivo Show. He's also written the song about me shitting my pants, which might be the best song he's ever written, in my opinion.
It's on TikTok. There's 20,000 people who have heard it.
Yeah, it's a pretty big. Go ahead.
I would say this is the equivalent of Paul McCartney leaving the Beatles in terms of success, right? Like, he left the confines of Eric Woodward's world. He's really grown and flourished. And showed to be, I mean, the talent of the family at this point.
Wait a minute. Are you comparing your world to the Beatles?
Yes. Are you the Beatles?
Wow.
Who are you, John Lennon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dial it down. Yeah. I'm not sure we're going to quite go for
you
that.
You do look like a walrus. Analogy. I'll give you that. But that's.
Okay. Well, we have hinted that Jeremy is going through some medical issues, but we have not. Said what they are. We've said that you have mentioned it on Quality Time. Why don't you tell our listeners what's going on with your beloved brother?
Well, I don't want to downplay this, but Jeremy is very sick. He's got the COVID-19. It has struck him. He made it. I, first of all, surprised he made it to the year 2021 without contracting it. That is
right.
The first thing that is kind of mind-blowing.
He doesn't
in all of this.
Live the lifestyle that
we finally got it, and he has been sick for over a week, has been bedridden now.
But he's not in the hospital. He's at home, correct?
He is not in the hospital. He's at his house. He can still breathe, but he does feel particularly atrocious.
He can still breathe?
That seems important.
Eric, does Jeremy not have access to the vaccine?
Does he not have access to the vaccine? I mean,
well, it's too late for that.
All of us have technically access at this point, but he contracted it last weekend. He's been running a fever for a week and a half. I mean, you know, I don't think Jeremy is against getting it, but he certainly can't get it right now.
You would think of all the people that it would be easy for others to socially distance from. It would be Jeremy. You think he would just naturally have people steering clear?
People would want to steer clear of him.
Exactly.
He would want to steer clear of people. Yeah.
Do we know where he got it at?
You just look at Jeremy like, I don't want whatever that is.
Right.
Yeah. Do you know where he got it?
I'm not. I do know, but I don't know if I'm at liberty to share that with
you.
Gotcha. Oh, okay.
Because it might bring in some other people. And, you know, I'm not trying to, I don't know, is that health shaming or something like that?
Nah, you're right. We shouldn't
say
that.
I'm willing to do that to my sweet brother. I don't want to do it to maybe other people could be listening.
But a lot of people have gotten it. It's not. Hey, come on.
You can
get it
anywhere.
Yeah, I've had it.
Shame.
You know where I got it? The Texas Roadhouse. You think they're fine with that?
I think the whole state of Texas is upset.
By the way,
about
I
that.
Believe I got it at the Texas
sure.
Roadhouse.
Now, let me ask you this, and I would understand if this person did this, but is your wife, Erica Woodworth, now going to use this as a reason to keep Jeremy out of your home
forever,
or as long as possible
in perpetuity.
Quite literally, the words that came out of her mouth last night were, "He's never allowed here again."
It's possible that your wife gave him COVID just for this reason.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. He's less, what's the word? He's less dangerous now than he was.
Of course.
Yeah, so he's going to have had COVID.
Yeah.
He's going to get the vaccine. And then he's going to be at his apex in terms of health, which is still a 2 out of 10 for a normal person. But we were talking about this off the air. So Jeremy is, I mean, he's not in the best shape. Would you agree with that? Is that a fair statement?
Now, yeah, he's, I mean, no, he does labored breathing when, you know, watching an episode, a rerun of The Shield.
Right.
So, yeah, I wouldn't say he's at the top of his game before getting COVID.
So you would say, I mean, right now,
at risk.
You could probably off the top of your head name 6 or 7 comorbidities right now. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've filmed him, just his sleep patterns of just like he has horrible sleep apnea that goes untreated. And then you see, I've counted a good 45 seconds where he just doesn't breathe and goes that. And it is like that. I feel like COVID isn't getting enough oxygen to operate. Like, in truth.
Yeah, so that's the thing I was thinking about. If Jeremy survives this, okay, in all honesty, how many people you know in worse shape than Jeremy?
No one.
I mean, there are people that are older that are in worse shape.
Well, obviously, yes, but
relative
to their age, maybe.
Of course, relative to his age.
Like, pound for pound, he's in the worst shape of anyone we know.
Anybody that I know that's walking and talking.
Yes.
You know, but if he survives this, I mean, then I'm on the team hoax.
Well, it's not good for the COVID fear people.
Yeah, the fear people. I'll just show them a picture. Okay, this guy survived it. He survived it. No problem. It was easy.
Now, yeah. A lot of times when an artist.
It actually, the thing I'm most worried about, though, is, I mean, has anyone checked on the status of Jeremy's rats during this? Because, I mean, created such a home for them during the last year that I'm worried that they might have COVID, and that, you know, that it's just I feel like they're being overlooked in this whole situation.
don't be silly. Rats get bubonic plague, not COVID.
Yeah, they'll be just fine. Now, as an artist, a lot of times when you go through pain, like Adele or somebody will have her heart broken, and then it'll lead to like 50 million albums.
Yeah.
Do you think that this COVID experience might lead to, if it's even possible, a greater Jeremy Woodworth collection of songs?
First of all, is that possible? And then before, answer that first, if it's possible.
It's possible. It's very possible. He could have peaked, Joe.
Is it possible that we haven't heard the best that he has to offer? Is that possible?
I think that it's probably not.
I think he's got some more in the tank. I think there's going to be clearly a song from this experience.
100%.
Eric, is it?
I think we're all counting on it, as a matter of fact.
Is it bad that my first thought was, oh, good, I don't have to get a song this week?
No.
Now, have you already, if things take a turn for the worse, have you considered or thought about replacements for Jeremy on Quality Time, your podcast?
You know, I've always been a firm believer that when Jeremy is no longer around, or if we weren't ever doing the show together, I would dissolve the show. And that's true.
You've told me that before.
I don't promise that. Yeah, I would dissolve the show, and that would be our last episode.
Yeah, you told me that.
One of us dying or getting into a fight where we didn't talk to each other. Both are very high possibilities. But, I would dissolve the show. It might come back in some other name, but it wouldn't be called Quality Time, I'll tell you that.
No, you told me that before, that this is basically a vehicle for you to be able to spend time with your brother, which I think is noble. But let me make tell me if you agree. Jeremy Woodworth, okay? With the hand that he was dealt in life, I think he's done the best he possibly can. I mean, he's a guy, a lot of people know him. He's had his music played for thousands of people. That's the truth. You follow what I'm saying? He's a known commodity. And, you know, I mean, he's a guy who, I mean, he's definitely let himself go. He obviously has some sort of psychological issues. I love him. You know what I mean?
Right.
But he's got some things going on. But, you know, what was he going to be, a billionaire? He wasn't, but I think he kind of did it.
Man. Yeah, I mean, I never really thought of it that way because I'm a little too close to the stitch. I feel, I try to, you know, make him strive for the harder things in life. But, you know, now I think about it, I mean, he's a pretty big deal. I mean, he was New Jersey HorrorCon's best actor of 2019.
And Justin Schlegel mentions him often on 98 Rock. Justin, his name gets mentioned. His music gets played. He's winning awards for what? You know, I think he's done it.
Do they have like an Academy Awards for these like small time horror movies? Like there's a whole nother C B movie Academy Oscars, correct? That exists.
I don't know the official ones, but I know there's always tons of small, you know, indie horror film conventions.
My point is,
at
the Oscars,
yes, Jeremy generally takes part of them.
They have the memoriam or whatever that word is, where they have a picture of everyone that's died. Jeremy would be, if he died, would he be featured in one of these for these smaller time festivals, correct? Or award shows.
Oh, yeah. It'll be like some picture of him in clown makeup holding down a child, and they're like, oh, he's gone too soon. Really
send in the clowns.
I will say this. I've seen a video of this award show, and if the Oscars were the pinnacle, it would be the equivalent of you saying, hey, I went to see U2 play at,
Wembley Stadium.
Wembley Stadium, and then I also... saw karaoke at Larry's Tavern.
Right.
That's gotcha. Essentially the delta. Sorry, shout out Larry's Tavern. But
well, now I think there's possible three suspects that could have attempted to give Jeremy this the COVID. Clearly, your wife to get him to never come to your house, Eric. That makes sense. And then I think because of that would mean no more quality time. You have Chris Restiva, who would want Jeremy all to himself, and you have Robbie Robinson, who hates quality time.
Well, that doesn't
podcast.
Make any sense for Chris Restiva, because if Jeremy dies and there's no more quality time, there's also no more Chris Restiva.
You're right. It's just between Robbie and Eric.
But Robbie is definitely a suspect, because he would definitely silver lining this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, let's say Jeremy dies, and I don't want that to happen.
I don't.
You don't want it to happen. But, you know, who speaks at his funeral?
Who doesn't speak? I think that's the question. Okay, at Jeremy's funeral.
When you say funeral, you mean the ceremonial burning of Jeremy's home because we won't do anything else with his body? Yes, I mean, if you guys want to come and talk outside of the arson.
No. Now, Mac Bergson, that man will not let this happen without there being a funeral.
No, Mac Bergson will fly up. He'll probably he'll probably also buy a big bouquet. Bouquet?
Yeah, right. So we'd have Eric as the master of ceremonies at this funeral, clearly, right?
Yeah.
I think Gramps would read a poem that he wrote.
No. I want Gramps' live performance of his own rendition of Insurance Man.
Yeah.
I think that's what Jeremy would have wanted.
Would he read Insurance Man, or would he read Lubricant and Lotion?
Lubricant and Lotion would be
the
choice.
Yeah, both.
Well, we'd have to have a house band doing all these songs,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. We'll be doing homage. You know what we should do is everybody does their favorite Jeremy Woodworth song. Everybody does a tribute.
Yeah.
Eric plays guitar.
That leaves me out.
Robbie doesn't show up. He's still pissed off at Jeremy, even in death. He's still mad at him.
We have to have some of the rats there, too. You know what?
Yeah.
This sounds like a great time.
I wouldn't even bring him in cages. We just let him free reign in the funeral home.
Well, we're laughing. We got to make sure he doesn't die. Then we're just going to have to edit. This won't exist.
That's too much editing. We'll just have to live with it.
Yeah.
If Jeremy dies, this is going to be such a funny episode.
Hey, we'll play this at his funeral. This
there
episode.
You go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it. Hey, Eric, we're going to take a break. Thanks, man. See you.
See you, bro.
Love is in the air. Or is it murder? Die Laughing Productions is back and ready to have some fun at the expense of TV's premier dating reality show, The Bachelor. We proudly present The Final Rose. Contestants vie for the heart of our beautiful bachelorette, but love truly is a battlefield. Before someone can find love and accept the final rose, some unlucky person will take their final breath. The Final Rose stars all of your incredibly lovable Die Laughing Productions performers, and as always, you, the audience. We have roles available for willing volunteers, and everyone will get a chance to solve our most shocking murder ever.
Next performance, May 30th at McGoobie's Joke House, Timonium. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Well, there you have it, folks. We're all caught up. You know, if we get any news throughout the show, maybe if Jeremy, you know, chimes in, we'll keep you posted. But right now, say your prayers for Jeremy Woodworth, one of the rising stars. One of the, I mean, he's a cornerstone now of our show.
Yeah, how are we going to do it without him? It's a lot of content. By the way, what Robbie does is he begrudgingly, if we send one, he doesn't want it to be played.
Well, I think maybe he just likes to get our initial reaction. He doesn't want to hear it twice. He doesn't want to hear it beforehand and then on our show.
Yeah, is that true, Robbie?
You don't have to hear it. So true.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Can you just put it in whatever format it needs to be played and we all hear it for the first time at the same time? Is that possible?
Sure.
All right.
That's for you, Robbie. Not for me.
A couple things about last week. Hey, shout out to Ryan Dasson. We went back and forth on the names of the episode. And who was it in chat? Was it Benchwarmer or was it who named the episode?
I believe it was Benchwarmer.
I believe it was. Yeah,
it's a great name of the episode. They haven't been cured yet, but I think Ryan Dasson nailed it with you know, because we're talking about your March of Dimes,
yes,
stealing March of Crimes.
Yeah, it's good too.
Pretty good.
Yeah, man, that was interesting. I'll tell you why. I went to a party at my neighbor's house.
You told that story and they kicked you out.
Well, it's funny because there's a lady that was at the party that lives in their house, the house of the people.
Whose house?
Okay. So remember we told the story about the March of Dimes, the dad that came.
The guy you're afraid of?
The guy everyone was afraid of, right? Hell, he left his 10-year-old, because it was 79, he left a 10-year-old in Baltimore, and my dad said nothing. He said nothing to him. Not one word.
I see his point.
That was perfectly fine that his 10-year-old was left.
Different time.
And my friend Larry Russo was also left there, and his dad also said nothing. They said nothing to this guy.
Not a word.
Don't worry about it. We'll go get him. Sorry to inconvenience you, okay? That's what happened. Anyway, the lady, she doesn't live in the house. This is my neighbor's sister-in-law. You know, my neighbor over here, Kyler, I always talk about what an angel she is. Her husband's...
Right next door?
That's right.
Yes.
Her husband, Craig's sister, lives in, not in the house, but in the... Rob, you remember the barn that was in the back?
Yes. He had a big garage back there.
Yes. I don't know if I've told this story. Did I tell this story? Me and Mark Quavila used to go back. I shouldn't say his last name since I'm telling it. And God, I wonder if he'll ever hear this and be like, hey, these guys are, you know, besmirching my good name.
I think it's okay.
But this is 100% what happened.
Right.
So he would go back there, and his dad had stacks of porn back there.
Nice.
Okay.
Magazines,
now, do you
videos?
Remember this, Robbie, that he had porn back there?
I vaguely remember
magazines.
This.
Yes.
Okay.
But we're not talking about, like, Playboy. We're talking about people shitting on people.
Right, the
people.
Nasty stuff.
It was the worst possible thing. And I'm seeing this like, oh, this is...
Your probably first experience.
I thought that was what people did. Oh, you just shit on somebody. Okay, and then a baby pops out. Right, that's what I thought was the reality of it, okay?
And then a baby pops out. That's the first potential title.
So I was telling this lady the story.
Okay.
Now I told
about
her
the shitting?
About that she lives in that place. I go, you need to go in there with a black light and see what's happening in there. And then, of course, I also told the March of Dimes story because she lives in the place where this guy would go back there and work out and do all that stuff. Okay.
March of Crimes. Let's,
that's
let's
right.
Make it
so
that
story was told at this party, but I had made a gigantic error earlier. You know, I annoy Katie. Sometimes my side of the argument is like, nah, that's not as bad as you're thinking. Mm-hmm. There's a little back and forth. This time I fucked up bad.
Yeah,
I fucked up bad.
It from what she texted about it, it didn't seem like there was any gray area. It seemed pretty clear that this was a
the story that she told on the text, that's exactly what happened. Word for word. Okay. So, Robbie, are you aware of this? Were you on the text that you were, right? Or do you just blew past it?
I'm not sure what you're talking
about.
Okay.
So, here's what happens.
Oh, yes. I heard about this. Did we not take a break or what?
Well, we...
Yeah.
After Eric, I mean, you didn't get us back in, but
no, there wasn't any pause or anything. That's why I'm asking.
There's a huge pause.
That
Eric
was the break.
Sorry, getting rid of Eric. That's okay. All right, can we keep going?
Yes, of course.
All right, we'll leave all this in for the listeners.
Yeah, because I don't want to edit it.
Right. So okay. So anyway, we get back at around 8:45 or something like that, and our neighbor, who's the nicest person in the world, messages Katie on Facebook and says, hey, we're over here. Why don't you guys come on over? Okay. Now, by the way, the party was awesome. That's the truth. It's important for this story.
But they said they're having a party.
They said they're, yeah, well, I saw them over there. Okay. But she, as soon as she sees we got home, she messaged us, which is very kind. So Katie goes, hey, go over there and then just text me if it's something that I should come over to.
Okay. You're the tester.
Right. So, of course, I walk over and I go, hey, everybody. Now, I'm also had just ingested something.
I understand.
Might have made me, I get a little chatty. I get a little, I don't necessarily reason things out.
Mm-hmm.
I smoked marijuana. I'll just tell you about it, right?
This is big news.
All right. I know, shocker, right?
Wow.
Anyway, so I go over there and I go, hey, guess what, everybody? My wife wants me to give her a thumbs up. If this party's good enough for her to come to, okay?
Oh, my God.
That's what I say.
Oh, that's so bad.
Okay, I say that. She can hear me. She's walking the dog in our yard. She hears everything I'm saying. She's then is going to kill me. She texts, I'm going to fucking murder you. Blah, 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 blah. I'm dead serious. Do not do that. Now, of course, I don't see that. So I'm not, I don't have all my faculties. She comes over and I go, hey, Katie, I tell the whole thing. She's already pissed.
So you double down on
it. I double down on it. Then I proceed to tell the story about the cutting board.
They're regretting having you over.
No, I actually, well, that might be where we disagree. We had a good time. One of the last few people to leave. We had a great time over there.
We never left.
We rode the zip line over there, right?
Jesus, what's going on at this house?
Yeah, we did shots. I mean, it was, it was fun. And there's another neighbor of mine who was there. He's the one who actually got in trouble because he's told his wife, she goes, okay, you ready to go home? He goes, I'll have one more drink. And, of course, then he just stayed for another hour.
Of course.
And then, of course, he got the text, like, what happened? I thought you were coming home. So but once he got the text that he was in trouble, that's when we said, all right, well, we're done.
What did Katie say when she walked in and you had announced this now twice?
Here's what she did. She sat in a chair. She was obviously pissed, but she wasn't so pissed that she didn't want to appear pissed, right?
Gotcha.
She went out on this joke now that he's whatever. Then she went in the house and hung out with the hostess. And so she kind of ended up having a good time, but it didn't change what I did.
But if the party was bad, she'd have to stay regardless.
Yeah. She would have.
So you're locked in for at least an hour, I would guess.
Yeah. And in the condition I'm in, I said, the first thing I'm going to do is go over there and I got to make a grand entrance. How do I do that, right? So, the party's already been going on.
Grand entrance.
And that's my grand entrance. And so.
To shit on your wife.
She is 100%. Hey, there's no, I couldn't get out of it. The next day, she was still mad at me. I had to own it. There's nothing I could do. So.
Did you have a legitimate apology?
Yeah,
you sat down and looked her in the eye?
I swear I did. Okay. I go, hey, I'm so sorry. There's no excuse for that. Absolutely, I can't. I mean, I'm laughing now, but at the time I go, no, you're right. Now, I had one tiny excuse, and that's that I was inebriated, right? And so, or whatever term you use.
Right.
But it still doesn't make it. If I killed somebody in that state, I'd be guilty of murder,
yes.
Right? So that's what happened. I totally fucked her over for sure. And so anyway, no, I mean, all I can do is say sorry. She forgave me. It took a couple days, which is a reasonable amount of time for that indiscretion. I was perfectly willing to pay my dues or whatever. But
I think Tawanda would murder me like that. It would take longer than a couple days.
Yeah, well, I will say this. We went to, we mentioned a million times our friend Erica works at Davis's in Eastport. Uh-huh. Recommend anybody. Well, it was a beautiful day on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're there, and this is 2 days later. I think I'm in the right timeline. And we're sitting there, and she tells that story. to Erica's dad's there, her stepmom's there, her sister's there, her sister's boyfriend there, Larry.
Yeah.
They're all like, yeah, no, you're a dick. That's the worst thing. There goes nobody on my side. It doesn't matter if they were on my side or not. I wasn't looking for any support. But, yeah, no, that was a royal. It wasn't even a fuck up. I did it on purpose. So it was just a bad decision that I made.
Let's talk about you doing, I don't know, was it 5-6 hours of NFL draft coverage on 98 Rock?
Well, there's some things I wanted to mention on bonus for that. So
okay.
I can certainly just say that, and I want to talk about this on bonus, you came in and I felt like what you contributed, it made me shine.
Nice.
Right?
But the opposite of what you just did for Katie.
It's exact. Yes, exactly. I wasn't there and building her up. I was there tearing her down. But I'm trying to think of what I can say without telling this part of the story. But I will say that if the station were smart, you would do what I was doing during the draft. Because the draft is your baby.
I do love it.
You love the draft. You know the players. You know, I mean, you probably know it down into the good third round, which is a lot.
Well, I know it in the sense that I've read a bunch of mocks and stuff.
You
so
care
I know
about it,
I
yes.
know other people that watch it that really know it, their opinion.
If
I don't know it from watching
right,
this guy.
You're not scouting
right.
tape.
It's secondhand, but I know that much.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you were to see the player, like the player that the Ravens took is the second player they took, the kid out of Penn State, okay?
Who I picked in our pool.
Yes.
That's who they would
take. You
picked
him. And this guy, he had the linebackers coach went to his pro day. He said it's the best pro day he ever saw in his career. He
right.
said he's never seen. He ran a 4.37. He had the highest vertical jump of anybody. He's the fastest. He was jumped the highest, everything. But he also had 0 sacks
yeah.
last year in Division I college.
And that's his position is the one that's supposed to get sacks.
And that's right. He yeah. plays the edge, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know all that. Mm-hmm. You know whether or not you're going to defend that, whether or not, and I have to find it out after they pick him, and then I look into it. That's the way it works.
Right.
Well, there's a big difference.
Yeah.
There really is, because the name comes off the board. You'd like to be able to say, oh, yes, this kid, this, and have 50 things to say, mm-hmm. which, again, we're going to talk about on the bonus show, you were able to do with another player, and then I literally took that, and I used that information in the next 3 or 4 segments and allowed me to shine. Meanwhile, it was you. So, anyway.
Well, I want to talk about hanging out with our former show announcer, Tim Moran.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because I want to talk about going to Maryland Live, the new Sports and Social, the sports book.
How long has it been open?
It opened last week. It opened,
so it's
like, I think it opened Thursday night.
And then you're there
Saturday afternoon.
So it's 3 days later.
Yes.
Okay.
And they have, I don't know if you've been to Maryland Live, but.
I have.
The listeners, Joe. But when you're down where they used to have bands, not the big new
I know exactly
portion,
what you're talking about, yep.
Where they have, like, name bands, like fucking Gladys Knight or, like, Wu-Tang Clan is coming.
Hey,
that's why I work with Dennis.
Name bands. The first band you say is Gladys Knight.
Well, because they've had her. Yeah,
right.
Right. They don't. They're not getting U2.
Gotcha.
They're getting people.
Well, there's a wide berth between
okay.
Gladys Knight and U2.
But
anyway,
they're getting
ahead.
People
Got
that are big names
yes.
that aren't in their prime.
Got it.
Okay. They get Jerry Seinfeld. That's pretty good.
That is good.
He's coming up.
He's no Gladys Knight.
Right. He's no Gladys Knight. Gladys Knight's a legend. That's a pretty good get.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they used to have smaller bands and they'd have like a DJ or something, or they'd
yes.
have a cover band we've seen. And that little pit area is now turned into huge, you know, 13 TV screens, one's
right.
you know, the size of a movie. It's a typical, if you've ever been to Vegas or somewhere. Where
right, what go, they look
yeah,
like.
Yeah, exactly.
Sports books.
Bunch of places to sit. They got like a fucking foosball table and all kinds of shit. So it's not open in the afternoon, which is, I guess, no big deal because I'm just staring at the TV. And then the main bar up top, which has always been there, that's open, but you can't sit there. You have to order a drink and then just leave.
You're not allowed to stay there. Why? Because of COVID? Or
they want you to go gamble, I guess. I
gotcha.
Don't know why.
Understood.
I couldn't tell you. They have machines where you sit at the table and play, but those were you couldn't play them. They were locked.
Okay.
Literally says, it says or sit because you can't order, leave, or something. Like there's a phrase.
Jeez.
Like, all right. It's $10 a beer, too, by the way. So like maybe you want me to sit and drink. But I look. The draft is on. It's rounds 4-7. I realize that's not the money rounds.
Right.
But by the way, the draft Thursday night, that did more ratings than anything that wasn't a college football or NFL game this past year.
Sure, and it's right. a sports book.
Right.
And so that's what people who care about sports also care about.
So they have 13 TVs. And by the way, the draft is on ESPN.
Is that a big station?
Yes.
Is that a big sports station?
I think if you knew nothing about sports, you would know that ESPN exists, correct?
I don't know. Ask Gramps.
Right. So who's if you're not 85 years
okay.
old, right?
All right.
If you're someone who's working at a place like this, the Nationals game is on. They have 13 TV screens. Not one of them is on that. They
is
have
on, is on the Nats game?
Nats or the draft.
Okay.
The what, zero.
What's on?
Well, they have NBA TV, which highlights. That's the main
highlights
thing.
Of games that have already played it, that you can't gamble
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
Okay.
They have two TVs on college softball, women's.
That no one is betting on in the history of mankind.
Right, or watching. Or right. who's in, like, I bet you there's 50,000 people watching in the country. That
can okay. you even bet that?
You can't bet yet, but this work,
no, but
you, it's not legal
say,
to bet yet.
I was going to say, can you bet women's softball?
I don't think you can.
I don't think you can either.
And then it's just on other highlight. So I say to the girl, she's, are you going to turn like the draft on? I mean, it's on at this bar, so it's not really that big of a deal because I can watch it in the baseball game. It's just weird that it's not on.
Yeah, which it is.
Right. And she's like, I don't really handle that. And I'm
was
like,
she
okay.
annoyed at you for asking?
She's a little annoyed because I'd said that I don't really care in terms of my viewing. But I care because it just bothers me.
Yeah,
it's
you
like,
should have it on.
Right.
You're right about that.
It's like if I go to eat breakfast and I don't want eggs, it bothers me that you don't serve eggs.
Right, you should have
right?
eggs. Right.
So,
gotcha.
Okay, you're a diner. Okay. So Tim gets there, and then she goes and asks this other guy. And I'd already figured out he was an idiot because I went to order a beer from him. He couldn't find the beer, even though she just found
it. Was it Coors Light?
No, it was Shock Top. She found it immediately. He couldn't find it.
Got it.
Then he gives me a pen to sign. The pen doesn't work. And I'm like, can you do anything right? Okay.
Gotcha.
So I already have a bad impression of him. Then he goes, he'll get to it. Okay. Then he goes to the area where you can, on the computers, where you can change the TVs. But I'm thinking the draft has been going on since Thursday. It's been on ESPN.
Yeah, it means he's never had it on.
Was it not on this whole time? Or was it on and you turned it? That's what I'm trying to figure out. You would just think as a default, you would have the ESPN on.
Yeah, and by the way, it's the sports book. Is it difficult for you to get onto ESPN?
It took 15 minutes and he never got it on. He turned the bar where I was sitting at, he turned that from the draft on ESPN to the draft on NFL Network.
Okay.
Which makes no difference.
Right.
And then he put the softball game to the Nationals game on the two smallest screens on the bottom corner. So there's only really two live things happening that anybody cares about, and they're the least prominently featured.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder, somebody literally should say something. It's like, guys, get your fucking head out of
it
your ass.
It seems pretty basic. This isn't
But not just basic, it's also important.
Yeah.
You're running a sports book. Do you want sports fans there?
Right.
You
yeah.
do want you do, right? You want sports fans there.
Do you want a poker dealer that knows the rules of poker?
Is the NFL a big league? Do people follow that?
It's the most
NFL?
Important betting thing that there is. And I guarantee you, the draft, every other thing that was on, including the Nats game, if you combine them all, multiply by 10, more people are watching the draft.
Of course, yes. Everybody, by the way, I was watching the draft.
Right.
Yes, we're all watching the draft. God, that would have made me fucking furious.
All right, let's take a break. Rob and Joe should be right back.
Rob's long-awaited Dry Bar Comedy Special is finally here. It's available for free on the Dry Bar Comedy app. The reviews are in. Gramps says, stop telling jokes about my girlfriend. Mac Bergson said, I wish Robbie produced it. Joe Robinson said, it's the pie plate closer of comedy specials. So download the Dry Bar Comedy app and watch Rob's special.
All we watch is HGTV and then the Murder Channel. It's just Property Brothers, Menendez Brothers, just nonstop. She just she wants us to buy a house, renovate it, flip it, buy a new house, and in that new house, murder me. That's her whole 10-year plan. So
never estimate the laughs.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Jeremy, no songs recently.
I think what you're leading up to is this a theme song? Is it called the Chris Restivo Show?
I'm pretty sure, yes.
One of the things that bothers me about Jeremy is that he's so lazy what? That he won't...
He doesn't put any effort in titling the file and giving you an idea what it is.
It just says Restivo.
Doesn't that enough for you?
Nobody was shocked and outraged at it. Although I did hear Sir Anthony Hopkins shits his pants weekly.
At his age.
Hey, this is the Racist Rob and Racist Joe show.
Thanks, Robbie, for that.
Okay, awesome. Yes, people won't get that.
I'll edit that out. Perfect. Don't worry.
Don't edit that out. That was a great callback.
100% will.
My dad loves Frito.
Who doesn't?
So I picked the two bags out of there, and I gave them to my dad. This is for you. And he said, can I eat them now? See, that's what I'm talking about. And I just...
Joe went on for like an hour and a half. I usually like to do like 30 to 40 minutes.
Max says, Joe regifting Fritos to the man providing him free rent.
You can tell much about a man's character by how much truth he can tolerate. I go, that's Nietzsche. She goes, oh my God, you know Nietzsche? She goes, Nietzsche, you know Nietzsche? She has a friend named Nietzsche, okay? She thought I was quoting her. Okay?
Google Nietzsche and just see what comes up. How many people named Nietzsche?
Well, you have to spell Nietzsche to Google it.
Just Google famous people named Nietzsche.
When I heard the wedding was going to be in Ocean City, I said, fuck yes. That is going to be fucking awesome.
JL, he refers to himself now as Donald Trump half-black version. Touche.
Max says, a weekend of listening to Joe complaining, who wouldn't want to go? The dramatic traveler said, Mac, you complain about Joe more than Joe complains about anything. Nice. They're afraid you're not going to take it seriously enough, and they're super religious. I go, well, they should. They go, yeah, they're Catholic. I go, well, I can't do a mass, right? Like, what are you talking about?
For a guy who's coming by to talk about cleaning your gutters, the last person you'd see.
A little person?
A little person.
Try again. You're close.
No arms.
You're almost there.
No hands. No.
He's in a wheelchair.
Eric was literally trying to get bagpipe players.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yes. Sorry, man. We really don't like to talk about it. Our relationship got a little weird or whatever. And they're both there. And apparently I stumbled on something horrible, okay?
Second important birthday tomorrow
is Tom Arnold.
Michael Chamberlain.
Oh, okay.
They have the same birthday as Adolf Hitler.
That's the third one.
Important. That's it. All right.
That has something to do with the Robin. Oh, that's a celebrity.
This is Joe Robinson from 98 Rock. He goes, I don't care. Right?
One's comment's like, is that her father?
Yeah. That's not the best comment, though. The best comment is when they go, she's definitely sleeping with one of those guys that were outside cheering. Yeah. Not only did I keep the money from the handicapped kids, but they kept sending notices, and then eventually they gave up. Now, that may, no lie, that may have been, in today's money, it's probably $200.
Shout out, you guys are great. Thanks for the relatable entertainment, except when you talk about old-ass TV shows.
Yeah, I don't want to be curmudgeon-y.
Hey, you know that picture of you on Facebook when you're leaning over talking to Katie? That's the worst picture ever taken of you.
I always say I have a really good personality. That's always the joke.
Right.
But then they automatically assume I'm rich, which I'm also not that either. Right. I live with my dad. Hey, that's great, and I'm going to give you some applause, but I will say I am definitely going to address something about that particular montage on the bonus show. So Robbie is definitely going to have to answer for something on the bonus show, 100%, because I think I'm going to allude to it a little bit. There was somebody who used to do that for us, the exact same issue that Robbie had with him, Robbie just literally just bypassed.
Oh, you're so going there.
Oh, yeah, 100%. That was fucked up. So what we'll do is on the bonus show, Robbie will defend that.
Oh,
he'll defend that behavior on the bonus show.
Now I am not looking forward to the bonus
show. Well, that's
show.
Not a very kind thing to do, but we can talk about it on the bonus show.
All right. Moving on. So we love hypotheticals. I thought of one. From watching the Macho Man Randy Savage documentary, part of it, and then there was a guy dressed at the NFL draft as the Macho Man, got me thinking, 1 year of your life, every single time you leave the house, and that could be to go to the grocery store, to go to Murder Mystery, to walk Oscar, you have to be dressed like Randy Macho Man Savage.
Say the things, at 1 year, no matter what I do, I'm dressed like him?
Yes. How much money?
Well... let me say...
You can, by the way, never leave your house if you choose not to.
Yeah,
I mean... That sucks for you in this situation, but...
Can I tell people?
Yes.
So if I went to my...
You can't tell people... This is what I... You can say you lost the bet. You can't say it's for money.
So let me say this.
Mm-hmm.
My boss, who I love...
Yeah.
He would let me do this.
But no one's going to take you seriously. You know how ridiculous you're going
to
look?
He would... There's a way for me to just... Everything is done remotely. Now, going into the office would be...
Okay.
But...
So you're just saying you could just Zoom it.
I could say to him, hey, this is my life.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, doing the radio is fine. Right? Doing the murder mystery, people would just be like, that wouldn't hit the radar, right?
Right.
So.
Well, no, it's going to hit the radar. You're going to be so distracting, we have to acknowledge it. You couldn't be out handing out roles dressed with that hat on.
Right, but I would just acknowledge it, right?
Okay, but it's still so distracting.
But there are things like weddings and things like that.
Yeah.
Like, so I have to say to Katie, listen, remember when I was going to officiate your cousin's wedding? I will be doing it as Macho Man Randy Savage.
Which they're not going to allow?
Then I just wouldn't do it. But I said, listen, somebody's paying him X number of dollars. He has to do this. It's up to you.
Okay.
Would you allow it? So I would do it. You're going to be surprised. My number is going to be pretty low. I'd do it for $500,000.
Robbie, I don't think Joe is realizing how ridiculous he's going to look.
I'd do it.
Are you picturing this in your head, Robbie?
It starts right now.
I would totally do this.
It starts right now, and mm-hmm. It ends a year from now.
You know what I would do it for?
Hmm.
Nothing. If I go on the radio and I say I lost a bet to you, and this becomes a thing, people will go, I'll say I'm going to this bar. They'll have me there for free. I'm an attraction. I'll make money off of it.
I see what you're saying. You think I went too high. But what about your comedy?
No. You have different situation. You have a
but
career.
But your comedy is...
This helps my comedy.
I don't know, man. I feel like it's distracting. You're going to just tell...
No,
your regular jokes?
I don't need to do comedy.
But how are you going to necessarily get paid?
I am going to be... An attraction. There will be national stories. A guy lost a bet, has to dress up like Randy Macho Man Savage for a year. Here he is at the Safeway.
So there was
eggs.
A guy. There was a
People
guy.
Are like, there's the Macho Man. It'll become a viral thing.
There was a guy one time who said, for this amount of money, I'll get breast implants. You remember that?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that's permanent.
How much money do you think that guy made off of that? No, it wasn't. He had them removed.
Okay, but that's not...
But I'm saying,
right?
How much money?
I don't know.
I know the story. Do you know that story, Robbie?
It sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knew it, but I don't. How do you parlay that into money necessarily? What if you get it wrong? Hey, I'll do it for nothing. Now you're Macho Man Randy Savage.
I'm out doing TikToks as Macho Man. I feel like in this day and age, that seems like something. Just the idea that you lost a bet, then you could write it as a screenplay, sell it as a movie. It just seems
if you're too successful with it, you might get sued, Rob.
Well,
Why
no,
who?
It's parody. You're allowed to do that, yeah.
How would I get sued? You can dress up like anybody.
Can't you? Well, I mean, he's not in blackface.
Yeah, I'm not going to... It's not black, anyway.
You
get my point. Yeah.
No, potentially, if people are calling you Macho Man, at a certain point, they might say, well, that's brand confusion. We want to cease and desist. We want to...
They had a song, Macho Man, by the Village People.
Yeah, by the way, Macho Man, I'm a Macho Man.
But you're also dressed like him. You understand in the context.
No, I understand. I do understand what you're saying.
How does Elvis impersonators live?
That's a good question.
It's a parody.
Yeah.
You're allowed to parody somebody. I'm pretty sure you are.
No one's going to confuse me
but
with
you
my
can't,
bill.
But they all have funny names like, red-haired Elvis and stuff like that. They don't represent themselves
Randy
as Elvis.
Randy Savage.
But.
I'm the
Rob Mayer,
the Macho Mayer.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't think that's. But hey, can I say one thing about the Macho Man Randy Savage?
You can.
You know, watch that documentary about him.
I started watching it. Recorded it.
Yeah. It's interesting.
The
right?
newest one or the one on
the one
Dark Side of the Ring?
Yeah, Dark Side of the Ring.
Okay, there's a new one on A&E that just came out yesterday, which I'm surprised.
Oh, I didn't see that. Anyway, I realized I had no idea what he looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
You mean when he died? Like when he got older? Or?
When he takes his glasses off, he's unrecognizable.
Yeah,
you'll know
of course
who,
I knew what he looked like.
Once he took his glasses off, I had no idea. And his hat off, I'm like, who's that guy? I had no idea who he was.
Well, he's very dear to me in my childhood. So
I do love Slim Jims.
So you're doing it for $500,000. Robbie, so are you?
Yeah, no
and problem. I'm doing it for free Slim Jims.
Well, right, Robbie said no problem, so you sounds like you do it for less.
No, no, I want the 500.
Are you still going to work?
Yeah, of course.
You're in there making signs. Your cape's getting in the way.
Yeah.
Are you? What do you have to talk like him too?
There's Slim Jim oil over everything.
No, if I have to talk like him all the time, that would potentially be a problem.
All right, so last week we made a plea at the end of the show to come to our show at the Ram's Head on May 2nd. And then a day later we decided that we should probably move that.
So I hope people went and tried to buy tickets and couldn't. That's what I hope happened. Because
right.
Here's the thing. I'm sure we would have sold enough to have a show. I didn't want to have a show with 60 people at it. I didn't want to do that.
No, I didn't want to have a show with 30 people.
Well, you understand my point
right.
is
no,
that
I agree.
They, and I love that venue. I love them. But they did us wrong. They didn't get it on their website in time. They didn't get it on the email blast. There's a lot of things they didn't do that made it. And, you know, I went on the air and promoted the hell out of it, and you couldn't buy tickets.
Yeah, and plus you can't really buy two tickets unless you're willing to pay for four.
You can't buy
which is not their fault. But
it's just, not, but I don't know that I love that either, right? You have to buy the whole table? Why don't you buy two tickets? You follow what I'm saying? It's like what
no.
are they trying to encourage or discourage? Whatever. They know what they're doing, I'm sure. But
probably
what
trying
happened
to
was
survive.
I went to buy tickets for my dad.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do it. I said, I can't do it. And you were the one that let me know you had to buy the whole table. I sent my dad down there to go to the box office to drive by him.
Get to the bottom of it, Gramps.
Yeah, and I don't think people are going to spend $80 on $40 worth of tickets. I don't think that's going to happen. And that's me. And I just waste money.
Well, the market for that is the people that don't want to sit next to someone. And they're paying for that.
Yeah, but
which is a weird person. If you're that afraid of COVID, you wouldn't.
They're not
the going to
watch a show,
yeah,
right? So I don't. I hopefully by the time we do that room again, which is in August.
August 1st. It's also a Sunday night. So
when we do that show on August 1st, mm-hmm. hopefully the world is in a different place. Although Robbie came over to hang out with my dad. We saw somebody drive by in their car, windows up with a mask on. So who knows? Every time the fucking president's out, he's wearing a mask. There's nobody within 20 yards of him. And he was on a Zoom call with all the leaders of the free world. And he's the only one wearing a mask.
I don't know how that wasn't the most made fun of thing in the history of my life.
How many? I think it was like 10 across the top and four. It was like 40 different leaders. Putin was in the middle. But forget what you think. None of these people from the whatever the fucking guy from Canada is. He's the De Gaulle or what's his name? He was the
Justin Trudeau.
That's it. Mm-hmm. I know he was the son of a former prime minister to the communist Russia to whatever else. No matter who it was, they weren't wearing a mask.
Well,
you know why?
Because it's fucking batshit
crazy.
They're
just sitting in their office.
Yes.
They're not in their office wearing a mask.
He's
like
also
a fucking
vaccinated.
Idiot. Yes, and he's vaccinated.
Whatever. It's terrifying level of. Look, we've all done. Everyone's been working from home or doing Zoom fucking Skype. Saying hello to your parents. We've all been doing this virtual stuff for a year. No one's ever seen anyone wear a mask. So I've done 50 Zoom comedy shows. No one's wearing a mask, and the audience are on their show. It's fucking bad shit crazy.
Yeah, no. Here's the other thing. Is he wearing this mask because he's scared?
No, he was asked about it, the press secretary, and they said he was sending a message.
Yes, it's exactly right.
Right.
That's exactly what he's doing. He is sending a message for sure. And again, this is not me coming out in support of the former president. What it is me saying that it's fucking stupid as shit for you to be sitting by yourself in an office with no one around you wearing a mask. It's fucking ridiculous. Please, and you're vaccinated.
And you're vaccinated.
Please stop doing that.
Yes. You basically have to believe the vaccine doesn't work and that the virus didn't come through your computer.
God, I got into an argument, and then this will be the last. Not an argument, but the Padres, maybe it was the Dodgers or the Padres,
right.
They had a section for people that were vaccinated. So you're outdoors.
Yeah.
And you can't be in this section unless you're vaccinated. You still have to wear a mask. You're outdoors. You're vaccinated. I'm vaccinated. I have to wear a mask. I need you to explain that to me.
You can't explain it.
It's more likely you'll fall out of the fucking stands than that you're going to get
of course
in
is.
That situation.
Yes, of course.
But here we are like fucking idiots. Still doing that. Listen.
If someone wore a mask that said MAGA on it, like J.L. Covan's head would explode. He wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah, yes, he would. He'd be like, wait. Oh, God, that argument that I was in, which I got, it wasn't an argument.
Right.
That discussion I got in with a friend of ours, Jared Stern, who eventually agreed with me. He goes, oh, right. I didn't see that it was outdoors. Right. Oh, I didn't see that everybody was vaccinated.
That wasn't called an argument. You were just
right.
Debating.
Well, he eventually said, oh, I didn't see that. You're right. Correct about that. That's what he said.
Right.
Now, who knows? Maybe I was right, maybe I wasn't, but he happened to agree with me.
Sure.
JL still went back and liked all his comments up until he realized he was wrong. He still went back and liked them. God, I hope JL gets far enough in this episode to hear what a fucking dick move that was.
God. Yeah. What a talk about anti-science.
JL Covan is such a fucking troll.
Man.
He is. That's trolling me for sure.
Hopefully the DC Improv will continue, because remember I talked about I didn't take the date so I could go to Ocean City.
Right.
I did get a date June 3 through 5.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully Drew Michael. But hopefully they can move up, but I'm not too confident because DC just banned dancing at weddings, indoor and outdoor. I don't even know that you're allowed to do that.
What?
Yes, which means no one will have a wedding in D.C. because obviously if you can't dance, there's no
one. Does that affect people's businesses? Maybe venues?
I don't know.
DJs,
wedding planners?
Maybe planners?
Yes.
Maybe flower shops? Maybe does that? Is
maybe
that,
surrounding hotels and
is
bars
anybody
and restaurants?
Affected by that? Yes. By the fact that you can't dance? God, so stupid.
I remember this guy. What was his name? Jerry. What the fuck was his last name? This comic back in the day.
Seinfeld?
Yeah, Wiseacres. No.
I see a Footloose sequel in that.
Exactly. He had a joke about Rage Against the Machine, that Republicans have a band called Rage in Favor of the Machine, which I always thought was a funny joke.
Okay.
But now that's the opposite.
Right, right.
It's like no one is more for the machine than
yes.
J.L. Covan. Please,
yes.
Please, rules, can't do anything. Yes.
It's take just, my freedoms
right.
away. Oh, you want freedom?
Only elites can survive.
That's
yes.
right. Only Amazon survives.
Right.
Only
fuck
Walmart.
The poor.
That's right.
Yes. No school for poor people. Only for rich private.
Oh, so all the yes. police are evil, too. Don't forget
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Rage in Favor of the Machine, the J.L. Covan story. Thanks, guys. Later.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.